Wow. So last month, in October, I was getting ready for a PowerPoint presentation in Michigan. So I put my five-year-old son and the Sammy upstairs. And I came, and I was just doing my PowerPoint presentation. I was so focused on my computer. You guys understand when you do PowerPoint. Literally, did I know that my five-year-old son, Sammy, snuck behind me, didn't see him at all. And as Sammy was looking at my computer, he zoomed into this picture. And right away, he said, "Daddy, I don't like that picture." I don't know about you, but as a parent, when you got caught off guard, you don't know what to say. And quickly, I was speechless for the first time. If you know me, I'm never speechless. I was speechless, and I had to be honest, like scramble around, what should I tell my son? I'm like, first of all, you're not supposed to be here. Why are you here now? Go upstairs. And as I pushed my son away, because I really had no idea what to tell him, after he went upstairs, I started weeping. I start crying. Here's why I'm crying. This picture that I was putting on is a picture of a child facing down, very malnourished, literally it's a skeleton, but behind is a vulture is watching. I hope some of you are familiar with this picture. It's a well-known picture. And it reminds me of my old past. It reminds me of old wounds. And the reason I cry and weep is that I could be that child. This picture is so famous, it was an award-winning photo. A gentleman by name Carter went to Sudan and took that picture. It was an incredible picture. When he came here, he won all the award you could imagine. Carter ended up killing himself. He committed a suicide. And because my son was asking so many questions, the first thing he said, "I don't like that picture. Why is that big bird standing there?" And then he quickly said, "What happened to the child?" The same question, why Carter killed himself, is the same question why my five-year-old son was asking me. The reason I cry is as me as a victim, I was really challenged by my son. What do I tell him now? I was just 2 years older than Sammy. I was about 7 years old when the war in the Sudan between the North and the South happened. That's why I cried. I had seen a lot of atrocities. I have seen young men from the age of 5 to 16 taking care of themselves. I have witnessed my own village being obliterated, being destroyed. My own sister is still in slavery. As my cousin taking care of me, ended up drinking my own urine, ended up finding a safety and walking 3 to 4 months to Ethiopia. And again, continue to find safety to walk another 3 to 4 months to a country called Kenya. The reason I ended up crying is this photo reminded me of the thing that I should never have gone through as a child. I have seen a lot when I was so young, I would go blind temporarily. I couldn't see in a refugee camp. I would go blind. But let me brag a little bit about the generous people in this world. Most of you heard about the Lost Boys of Sudan. It was in 1998, and I don't want to be emotional today, but I want to, this is a full circle come around. When we first got to Kakuma refugee camp, it was Ibn Paul Spiegel. I didn't know him back then. It was first medical epidemiologist receiving us. He has seen that, and I have so much respect for you, the humanitarian workers. Literally, did I know that I would be fortunate to be given a refugee status to be resettled in the United States of America? I spent 9 years in a refugee camp. Let me just put it this way. You're waiting for your death. It's a big grave. You are hopeless. Forget about the future. And if you've been there, either visit or live there, you understand what I'm talking about. But there are some generous people in this world. When they allowed the lost boys, 3,889 lost boys and girls to be resettled in the United States of America, I was the fortunate one. I was an unaccompanied minor. I was under the age of 15. I was brought to Lansing, Michigan. And by the way, barely speak English. And I was brought to Michigan. And I was like, could you just take me to a hotter place? Why are you taking me to Michigan? I mean, we have Florida, we have California, but of course, they're taking me to Michigan. When they said it's snow as white, I had no idea. What the heck are they talking about? And especially when they said Hakuna Matata, and I'm like, oh, I understand that. That's Kiswahili. Let me just put it this way. It was so difficult to adjust to American culture. The first time I was in a formal education, in fact, I started learning about Shakespeare. I didn't know. First of all, let's start. I didn't have eighth grade education, let alone Shakespeare. Be aware of Macbeth. And all those, you know, English people, you people understand. But life was so difficult, to be quite honest. But I want you to think of this. For the first time in my life as a refugee, I was able to think right. I told myself, I am one of the few. What can I do? And I dedicate myself to work hard, graduate with my high school diploma, went to college and played soccer, and I co-found Southern Sudan Healthcare Organization to help my people back home, the village that was destroyed. And I went and worked hard to finish my PhD. And most importantly, I'm going to go with Dean McKenzie. Yes, I will brag about Johns Hopkins. You know why? Because a refugee was able to do a postdoc at Johns Hopkins University. I will tell you that. I'm not ashamed of it. And if you would have asked me in Kakuma refugee camp that I would do a postdoc at Johns Hopkins University, I would have said, you are such a liar. I'm telling you all this, that I was one of the fortunate. Let me tell you about the American I know. Let me tell you about the American that brought me here. The reason I was here with my fellow lost boys is both the Democrat and the Republican actually got together with a bipartisan bill to allow me here. Let me repeat that again. Maybe you didn't hear this. The Democrat and the Republican got together on a bipartisan bill to bring me here. This is important. I'm not into politics, but this is important. Bipartisan meaning they agree together. I got a homework for you. Yeah, get them to get agreed now. Yeah. This is the America I know. Now, Paul Spiegel, who was helping me back then, I have joined him and many other thousands of humanitarian workers. I'm not a victim anymore. I want to contribute. You see, what I need was not money. What I need was opportunity. People like my foster mom who give me that. People who like Paul and others who give me that. I didn't ask for money, and this is why I give back now. Let me tell you about the America. I can brag about it. Some of you who work in a humanitarian setting, just hearing your story, Nancy, is scary. It makes you still go back. You're a little bit crazy to go back. And if you are in humanitarian, it's very scary. Let me tell you, a few years ago, I was caught in a civil war again in South Sudan to the point that I almost lost my life. But let me brag about the America I know. I was naturalized citizen in 2009. For some of you, Thank you. For some of you, you like, what is that? That's when you take an American test. And it's the hardest test, by the way. Okay? I was nationalized citizen in 2009. Went back doing my humanitarian work. Got caught there. Guess what? Men and women in uniform took off from Djibouti to come and rescued me. I reflect on that. 3 to 4 Americans were injured. Think about this. A refugee come here and a nationalized citizen being rescued by the American military. And they actually was injured in the midst of rescuing me. That is the America I will tell you about it. That's the America that don't discriminate. And I'm so grateful that I'm in this place today called United States of America that give us the opportunity. Go back to the story I told you about the picture. The reason I will keep crying and actually be sad is that there may not be more opportunity for people like Jacob who may come here, have opportunity to come here and go back either to South Sudan and help. You know why? Because that picture is still continuing today. There are more lost boys in South Sudan. There are more lost boys in Syria. Paul, you just say you came back from Colombia. There's more lost boys being produced. And these people need our help. And this is why I do what I do, whether it's in South Sudan or whether in any other part of the world to advocate for the refugees who are like me, who just come here proud as an American and be able to make the difference. Thank you so much for listening, and may God bless you.